Hey everybody, Brandon here. As we're working on season 10, we're moving along pretty good with it, actually. I've got about 6 episodes done so far, and I'm just waiting on a few people to come back through, but being summer, and you got holidays around, and a lot of weddings and birthdays coming up and everything, it's kind of taking a little bit longer to get people to come through for their parts, which is fine. Gives me a little bit more time to script some stuff out and all that. But in the interim of all of that, I wanted to be bringing you some bonus content to keep you interested. And one thing I've always wanted to do is be more engaged in the community and get more people involved. And so I've reached out on multiple forms of social media and asked a lot of people for, you know, questions. Do you have any questions about the show, for the creators, anything like that? And we've gotten a decent amount of responses so far and a decent amount of questions, so I wanted to take a few minutes and answer some of those questions, and we're going to be doing this, you know, kind of as we go, so if you have a question later on, there will be more of these. So let's get to these questions. The first question I got, I kind of see as a two-parter from Reddit. The second part says, if you can say anything more about how you choose character names, because they enjoy the character names. Do we have a list? No, we don't have a list. The first question was, what's your favorite character name in the series? The character names come from a plethora of different places, whether it be someone we knew growing up, or something we thought was funny on TV, or like Ralph Backlund, for example. There's actually someone in my town with the last name of Backlund, and everyone assumes that's where his name came from. The name Backlund actually came from Bob Backlund, the old professional wrestler, because I was a big fan of professional wrestling in the 90s. So that last name just popped up, and I just randomly picked a first name. My wife, Chelsea, comes up with a lot of the names for me. Not to say that I don't come up with the names, too. She named Johnny Treehut. She named Nathaniel Buddy Lansinger, Tom Thompson. A lot of the times, I'll just walk up to her and be like, hey, I have this character. He's a news reporter and, you know, kind of sounds like this. And she actually said John Johnson first, and I was like, or Joe John, I forget, but it was too close to a football player at the time, and I said, well, that's already someone, and she's like, well, then Tom Thompson, and I was like, yes. Kyle also comes up with a lot of the more ridiculous names. His humor is a little bit more zany than mine, I think. I don't know if that's an apt way of putting it, but like in a later season, he has a college professor that's clearly just a vampire, and his name is Steven Bloodrinka, which is just, you know, blood drinker. That's where that name comes from. As for my favorite character name in the series, would probably be from season 9, Montgomery Beauregard, or in season 2, the two demons, Zuzu and Big Birdus. And that's just because those are nicknames that we have for my dogs. Another fun fact about the names is whenever I have a friend come by to record a part or anything like that, I let them choose their name. And I tell them I don't care what it is. It's, honestly, we don't. The show's so stupid intentionally so that, I mean, your name could be anything. It doesn't matter. And in season 2, I had a couple friends come over, and that's where Greg Gergberg, or whatever he chose, and Gabriel, that's where they came from. They made up their own names, so. The next question that I got was, who was actually the worst or biggest jerk of life in the show? This one's hard for me to not be biased on. I mean, I think it can change from season to season, but I think the biggest jerk of life in the show is Brandon, for sure. I also think that Brandon's the biggest idiot in the show. He's sociopathic to an extent, and clearly just cares about himself. And I think he probably is the biggest jerk of life. If you're talking about, like, actual, like, bad guys, though, I mean, it's hard to go against Walt Dunlop. And then Montgomery Beauregard sucks a lot. But yeah, I'd say probably Brandon is the biggest jerk of life in the show. Another question we got was, what audio drama would I most like to do a crossover with? This is a tough question because listening to other shows, I can't really find anything that I feel like my show would mesh well with. We have this brand of comedy that I feel we try to push boundaries with. A lot of it is either extremely immature or it's borderlining being not okay to do. And that's actually the hardest part of the show, is figuring out what's too far and what's not. Because we've cut a lot of content that comes too far. We grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and a lot of our humor comes from back then, and a lot of stuff from back then is not acceptable now. And so that makes it hard to kind of go into that realm. Sorry About the Murder, I think, would be a fun crossover for us. A nice mixture of the Derlin accent and like a Canadian accent. I think that'd be fun to do. We're big fans of Station 151 as well. So that'd be fun. But like I said, it's so hard for us to mix together our brand with someone else's. Now, an interesting thing about our show is my humor is, like, I find the show funny for sure, but when I'm in the real world not recording for my show, like, I don't swear at even remotely close to the clip that the show does. I don't know where that came from. I don't know why we cuss so often. We don't cuss that often in our real lives. But I guess now that I say that, like, I did a crossover with a podcast called the Hex Girlfriends Podcast. And, like, I went on there and I didn't even really cuss at all. So, I mean, I can conform to anybody else's style and stuff. I guess now that I think about it like that, I mean, I could probably crossover with any show. But, I mean, it would have to be the right thing. Like, you could do someone from Derlin County showing up at, in Midnight Burger or something like that. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with either Station 151 or Sorry About the Murder. This next question, I think, is one of the harder questions I've been asked. And that's, where is it? Here we go. What is the dumbest song of the show, and which song kind of slaps? They all kind of slap. No, the dumbest song in the show is pretty much any song at the end of an episode. There is zero effort put into those. I just pick a key and I go. And then I intentionally sing just as on-the-nose lyrics as I possibly can. Like, the words are literally just what just happened in the show. So it's like the episode in season one where Kyle gets stabbed. I'm pretty sure I'm singing a song about how Kyle just got stabbed and now things aren't looking good. I think those are all kind of stupid, but intentionally so. Which song kind of slaps when you make it to season five, The Mustache Marauders? Two number fives. That song slaps hard. But if you're talking theme songs, I think the unanimous favorite theme song is season two. The electronic one in the Ghost and Possession season. Also, a little fun fact about the Mustache Marauders season. A lot of the stuff we talked about and a lot of the stuff of the Mustache Marauders backstory is true. So everything after 2000... or from 2008 on is true in that show. Me and my friend John actually started the Mustache Marauders in 2008, and we recorded three songs that are actually played in the season, which is the original Ain't No Trip to Cleveland, There's a song called Dracula, and then there's another stupid song we did called Pretty Princesses or something, which I believe are all in there. Dracula is for sure, and Ain't No Trip to Cleveland is for sure. But yeah, no, we've actually been doing that for, what is that, 16 years now? Which is crazy. We used to play live shows at open mic nights at local bars around here, and we actually did one as the Mustache Marauders. I think I have videos of it somewhere, but I've been debating posting them because we weren't no good back then. Well, John was, but I wasn't. And actually, going back to the crossover one, when I was asked that question, I initially thought maybe they were referencing what I wanted to spoof next. So I'm just going to go ahead and answer that because I want to. I've been very strongly mulling over Game of Thrones. The only problem I'm having with that is sound effects. I need to find someone with some horses. Because all of my sound effects are done by me. I go out with a recorder and actually record the sound effects. So it's like if you hear me falling downstairs, I'm literally falling downstairs. Or, I can't think of any other examples right now. The next questions I got are personal questions, and so I'm just going to kind of rapid fire those, which is, what are your favorite TV shows? I'm a big comedy TV show person, so things like The Office, Parks and Rec. The second question of that, which can kind of fall into this, is where does the show get its humor from? Which a lot of those, it pulls influence from a lot of those shows. A lot of it's from Psych as well. I'm a big fan of Psych and any buddy comedy for that matter. My sense of humor comes from like the 90s back. I get a lot of humor from Naked Gun, Wet Hot American Summer, and the old Pink Panther movies, which is kind of what I grew up with watching, that really dry delivery when something is just the most absurd thing. I think the closest to it is probably Wet Hot American Summer. I love everything that, you know, David Wayne and all those guys have done. I just think it's hysterical. Let's see. Does anything of the show have a basis from reality, like people, places, and events? Yes, absolutely. Most of the side characters and people that Brandon interviews along the way in a case are people that I've met in real life that annoy me. The show, like, those characters are created specifically to annoy you. Laramie, for example, in season one, my friend Mark, he is a basis for a lot of that. Not that he annoys me, but, you know, he would come up with, like, little dumb things, like when Laramie says yup over people talking, like, my friend Mark would do that to people at his work. And it was the most funny but embarrassing and, like, cringy thing to me. And these people were just, they didn't catch on. Oh, I didn't understand it. They'd be, you know, he'd be at work and they'd be talking politics to him or something. And, you know, first thing he'd say to them is like, I don't talk politics. And they'd be like, oh, okay. So then Trump and, you know, and then he'd just be like, and then, like, they'd just keep going and not realize it. And I just thought it was the funniest thing. And I was like, I've got to include that. And then another character from season one, Henry, the old man in the house that just keeps saying, well, anyways, there's this guy that I talk to on a fairly regular basis that literally does that. He will tell you a story. In the middle of the story, he will stop and say, well, anyways, and then continue the same story. And it drives me nuts. It's like, why'd you say, well, anyways? That's a segue to something else, but you're not segueing to another story. You're continuing the same story. So what's your obsession with, well, anyways? So that's him. But yeah, a lot of the things have a base or basis in reality in the show. And what is the setting of the show? And is it like an actual town? Derlin County, I think I've answered on Reddit before, is fictionalized, obviously, but it's based around a lot of things in true crime podcasts. I pulled a lot from Serial, Up and Vanished, and Cold, and S-Town. The accent came from S-Town. Laramie was the first one to really have the accent, and he's modeled after, like, the main character, like, voice-wise, John B. from S-Town. And then everybody else just kind of fell in line. A lot of true crime podcasts, when you listen to them, take place in the South. At least, you know, when they were first coming out. And so, like, it pulled a lot from that. And then a lot of the fictionalized places in Derlin County are based on little places from my actual hometown. And then it says, just what kind of basement do you guys have? Aren't your neighbors ever annoyed at you rocking or doing the rock music or podcasting? We have a giant basement. The only thing shitty about the basement's the computer. And we have a pretty decent lot size. The only thing that they're really going to be bugged with is maybe drums. But we soundproof a little bit, and I don't really think it's an issue. I've never had anyone say anything to me about any of it. So I think we're good in that regards. And then the last question I got was, do you guys ever get annoyed with yourselves for repeating overlapping narration and dialogue so much? Where does that come from? Is it a style choice or spoof or something? It's a style choice, for sure. I think it's hilarious. I think the answer is also twofold, though. But the show is created first and foremost for me. I think it's hilarious. I would have to re-listen to season one. I know it's done in season one a lot more than other seasons, but it is still done throughout. But it's what I'm looking for is to juxtapose what's going on underneath. And so it's like I'm narrating something, and then underneath me you hear Kyle saying the same exact thing. I think not only does it make the narration pop, but sometimes you can juxtapose what he's saying, whether he's saying something stupid and I'm saying something not so stupid over him. It's hard for me to make sense of it, but it's done specifically for me because I think it's funny. There's so much that's in the show that when you're listening to it, you're just listening right over. But when I'm listening to it, I'm laughing my ass off. There's a lot of like tiny, tiny, tiny little hidden things in there that when I created it, I had this specific thing in my mind that when you listen back to it, you're going to hear more and hopefully understand it better. I would like to redo season one. I'd like to clean it up and shorten it. It's just such a lot of work and undertaking to pull it all back off of an external hard drive and find all the sound effects and redo it. But it has been something that I've wanted to do. I guess the point I'm trying to make is from the very first episode, from the opening monologue, there are clues in there to what the outcome of the season or the story is. And I think I pulled a lot of writing influence from Arrested Development, because Arrested Development does such a good job of foreshadowing and calling back to jokes that I wanted to do and I think could have been done better. But when we're recording the show, and it's mostly me and Kyle that do it, when he comes over to record a little part here and there, 90% of the time when we get recording, we completely change the narrative. Like I'll write the show is 95% improv. Like I usually write a basic brainstorm outline, like, okay, so this is the crime, this is the outcome, and then from that I'll get slightly more in depth each time I go through it. So I'll write it again the second time. Okay, this is the crime. This is how I figure the crime out. This is the first person I talk to. This is the outcome. Then the next time I'll do all that, and then I'll add in the second, and then I'll eventually have all the episodes like bullet point scripted out but you know, none of the conversations are scripted at all. And then Kyle will come over and we'll record something, and I'll be like, okay, in this scene, this is what we're doing, this is where we need to get. And halfway through recording that, Kyle will be like, well, I think it'd be funnier if we did this. And then I'll be like, okay, we could do this if this and this, blah, blah, blah. And then by the end of it, it's completely changed and the outcome is completely different. And then I have to re-script from there. So I script the seasons like 5 times. I guess I'm rambling a bit. A point I guess I'm trying to make here is, along with me finding the overlapping narration funny, sometimes I use it to really drive home a point. Because me and Kyle, we sit in the basement, we drink, we do whatever, and a lot of things get mumbled and blurred as well. And when I go back in to edit the next day, I like the point that was made, but in the conversation we're having, it's not necessarily clear. So I'll go over it and really drill home the point that we were trying to make, and then edit it back into our conversation. So I guess it's twofold for me, why I do the overlapping narration and just repeat words that are being said underneath. The next question I got is kind of similar to a question that I have already answered, which is about character creation. How do I come up with the characters and all that? The first thing that we do, or I do really, is I try to make every like side character someone who annoys me, you know, whether it be someone who shushes you or gets too close to you and talks, or, you know, like bad drivers, the inconsiderate people, overly loud people, overly entitled people. But I also try to do it in a way that you connect with it. Like, is this person everywhere? It's like when you're in a rush to go to work, but you have to stop at a gas station real quick and get something to drink or pick up a candy bar or you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. And you're in line and you're in a rush, and then that old lady's in front of you buying every single lottery ticket imaginable. Like, that's, you know, that's what I look for. Like, yeah, those people are everywhere. So I like to have that so that you can be like, oh my God, I know who that fucking person is. I know a person exactly like this. Because I think then you connect with it better, and it's, I try to take an approach with the podcast version of me to that, like what I would actually like to do when I run into someone like that. Just like start screaming, shut up, or, you know, whatever it might be. And then for like the main characters, outside of the only two that don't really have like a quirk to them is Kyle and myself. Everybody else has like that little thing, whether it's a catchphrase or something annoying that they do, that they just keep doing. Like my dad and the whispering, or like Ralph and putting you down. Just because I think those things are funny. But with those, it becomes difficult too, because how do you keep them from not going stale? And so that's why Ralph has changed so much, because Ralph putting people down, I thought, was one of the funnier parts of the first season. But then moving forward, as he comes back, he has to change, and I'm like, okay, but what works in his character arc? And that's why I view Ralph as the former sheriff who disgraced the, you know, the sheriff's station and now feels bad about it. And now that everybody in town doesn't like him anymore, he's trying to act more likable to redeem himself. And it's like, okay, well, how does he go about doing that? By trying to act young and cool. And nothing's worse than when you're younger and you hear that new catchphrase or the new slang going around, and then, you know, 6 months later, your mom starts using it. I remember when the bomb was the cool thing to say, oh, that's the bomb. And then, you know, like a year later or whatever, my mom started using it, and it was, you know, just the lamest thing ever. I'm like, well, let's do that with Ralph. So that's where Ralph's, his internet lingo came from.
All right, dudes and dudettes. Look, on God, no cap, this episode was bussin'. We answered a lot of questions, and
hopefully you guys have more. Feel free to keep asking questions. Check out the subreddit. Check out our the Derlin County Linktree. We'll be doing more of these episodes as questions roll in. If you'd like to hear yourself on an episode, feel free to make a recording on your phone and email it over to Pigglebert, that's P-I-G-G-L-E-B-U-R-T, 41@gmail.com, and we'll throw you on here and answer your questions. We always love hearing from you guys. We want to be more involved in the community and everything. So, yeah, thanks for reaching out. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.